CBS and Hollywood presents, as the sample program in the forecast series, Edward Everett Horton in Leave It to Jeeves with Alan Mowbray. Adapted for radio from the comedy masterpieces by P.G. Wodehouse. For admission to the immortal company of great comic characters in the literature of the world, from Falstaff and Sancho Panza through Huckleberry Finn and the Connecticut Yankee to Ferdinand the Bull, we respectively submit the names of Bertie Wooster, gentleman at large, and his gentleman's gentleman, Jeeves. And to create those good companions in the gentle, whimsical Wodehouse manner, we bring to our forecast microphone two superbly well-suited comedians. No better Bertie than Edward Everett Horton could possibly be found, say we. No better Jeeves than Alan Mowbray. The imperturbable Mr. Mowbray has stolen many a movie with his suave skill. His Jeeves, we know, will delight each follower of that remarkable manservant. Mr. Horton, all of you know very well indeed, as well as most of you know Wooster. There's no doubt about it, he's the perfect Bertie. Am I right, Mr. Horton?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, of course, certainly, yes. Are you right about what?
Oh, never mind. I'm sure that if Mr. P.G. Wodehouse were here, he'd agree.
Woodhouse.
What was that again?
Woodhouse, that's how it's pronounced. You see, I've been making a considerable study of English names and their pronunciation. Why, you've no idea how they spell Chumley. It's as a matter of fact, I've no idea how they spell it.
Well, look, Mr. Horton, just for the moment, let's concern ourselves with these simple facts. You are Bertie Wooster, a wealthy young Englishman traveling in America. Alan Mowbray is Jeeves, your faithful valet, and you're...
You know, that's odd. I've just been reading a story about those very characters. I have the book here right with me. Where'd I put it? Where's the book? Listen, here's how it starts. It was the usual bright and early when I emerged from the deep and dreamless on the third day of my visit to New York. You see, it's written as though Bertie is telling me.
I understand that, but look, Mr. Horton...
Wait. And he continues. Being known to my pals as the Athletic Wooster, naturally, my one and only thought was to leap out of bed into my muscle-building exercises. The old one, two, three, four. However, I managed to lie perfectly still until that thought faded. Then I pursued the wiser and the more conservative plan of calling Jeeves. Jeeves.
Yes, sir? Good morning, Mr. Wooster.
Jeeves, the situation plainly indicates tea. Where is my tea, to say nothing of a cup and saucer and the usual plate of eggs and bee?
I beg your pardon, but the young gentleman who slept on the living room settee last night, he took your breakfast tray, sir.
Oh, well, that's different. For a moment, Jeeves, just for the moment, What's all this about some blighter bounding about with my breakfast tray?
He gave me to understand that he was an invited guest, sir. He was wearing a silk hat and part of our second best pair of pajamas.
Invited? Why, what a rummy thing, Jeeves. I don't remember inviting anybody. What's he like?
He's rather a blonde young gentleman, sir, about 28 or 29.
Bingo!
I beg your pardon, sir. Has somebody won something?
No, Jeeves, what do you mean? I mean, our guest is Bingo Little, one of my oldest and dearest. Oh, it all comes back to me now. I met him last night at the Stork Club, mopping up zombies.
Zombies, sir?
It's an American aperitif. It's a sort of a cocktail or something. It makes you forget all your troubles.
Really? Well, if I may say so, they haven't made Mr. Little forget his, because he's in a very low mood indeed.
Oh, dear. Out of sorts, eh?
That would be putting it mildly, sir.
Lower than a snake's tail, to coin a phrase?
Much lower, sir.
Well... Jeeves, if you'll keep Mr. Little from doing anything desperate while I whip into the steaming tub and the spotless linen, I'll be with him.
Yes, sir.
Climb up on my knees, sonny boy. Oh, no hot water. What is it? Climb up on my knees, sonny boy. Climb up on my knees, sonny boy. It's all your lonely.
More bacon, Mr. Little?
No, thank you. Where's Bertie?
Mr. Wooster is in his shower. He will be with you presently, sir. Is there anything I can do?
There's nothing anybody can do. Unless Bertie can lend me a gun so I can shoot myself.
I don't believe that we have a weapon in the place, sir.
Just like Bertie. Always unprepared. I don't suppose you'd care to fetch me a sharp blade from the pantry.
If you will excuse me, sir, I will see, sir.
What ho! Oh, Bingo, my boy. My, how well you look this morning.
You lie, Wooster. I'm a soul in torment, and you stand there and blither at me. What's to be done? That's what I've got to figure out. What's to be done?
Well, I don't know. Why not have some more bacon? Oh, I see you've had it all. Oh, why? Well, some more toast.
I'm in trouble, I tell you. Don't you remember anything about last night?
Last night? Oh, well, let me see. The zombies?
No. What I told you. The thing I was drinking to forget.
Oh, yes. But I've forgotten what we were forgetting.
Listen, I'm madly in love with Angela. I've been in love with Angela for years and years. You know that.
Righto. It's common gossip around the clubs.
Well, a month ago we quarreled. The big explosion. Parted forever and ever. So I barged over here to forget.
Oh, the old dawn begins to... You got some sort of a cablegram, didn't you?
Yes. Came yesterday. All is forgiven. She's holding out the welcoming arms.
Then go, my boy, go. Plow the ocean back to your beloved.
But I can't, Bertie. There's a certain matter of...
I'll carry through on your unfinished business, so...
But don't you remember? I'm engaged to a certain Gloria Latour.
Well, that's all right, old man. I'll handle any and every... Engaged? Oh, my word. Oh, you've got to be careful. Bingo, you've got to be careful. That sort of thing leads to bigamy. And from bigamy, it's just a short step into trigonometry. Oh, my word. Bingo, is she the Gloria? Is she the Gloria who sings or dances or something?
Right. But she's not that kind of a girl. Lives a quiet, sheltered life with her mother in a theatrical boarding house. Great old girl, the mother. I think she's taken quite a fancy to me. Because everywhere we go, she toddles along.
Oh, I'll bet you three would have had a wonderful honeymoon, too.
Yes. But now, Bertie, if I jilt Gloria, I'm afraid she'll kill herself.
Oh, not really. Has that been her usual custom?
Well, not up to now. Then there's the remote possibility of a breach of promise suit.
Oh, no. No, we can't let that happen. If Gloria sues you for breach of promise, Angela will hear about it, and then she'll sue you for breach of promise, and the first thing you know, you're in a rut.
I'm in one already.
Oh, buck up, Ringer, my lad, buck up. All is not lost that glitters. Love will find a way.
No. It's too late. I've lost Angela forever.
Nonsense, Bingo. Have no fear. Bertram and Jeeves will take care of all eventualities on this front. You leap aboard the first boat back to Angela. And I give you the Worcester oath that Miss Gloria Latour will never scuttle your ship of matrimony. Oh, I say, wasn't that kind of neat, huh? Never scuttle your ship of matrimony.
Bertie!
Huh?
You're a pal.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, old boy.
Let's come home and be my best man.
Oh, thank you, thank you.
Goodbye
again. Yes, well. Oh, dear. Jeeves.
Coming, sir.
Climb up on my knees, sonny boy.
I beg your pardon, sir.
Jeeves, Mr. Little has gone. What I mean, he has left. Brimming with happiness.
Really? From what he told me while he was eating your breakfast, I thought his problem a rather difficult one, sir.
Perhaps, Jeeves, for some type of minds, but we'll take care of it, won't we?
Will we, sir?
Now, don't tell me, Jeeves, that nothing suggests itself.
Nothing, sir.
Jeeves, you're not being difficult again about those yellow spats, are you? The man said they brought out my personality.
I cannot conceal from you, sir, that the spats are at variance with accepted taste. Eccentricity in dress, sir,
now,
is...
Jeeves, we'll have no more of this. I am not going to be a... don't tell me. What's the word?
Reactionary, sir.
That's it, yes. I like those yellow spats. I purchased those yellow spats, and I'm going to wear those yellow spats, Jeeves, constantly.
Yes, sir. Is there anything else?
No, there is not. And, Jeeves, much as it pains me, I can't help feeling that you are losing the old grip. Not just about spats, but about everything. Therefore, I think I'll handle this thing myself. A brief call on Miss Gloria Latour, a few words of fatherly wisdom in her shell-pink ear, and all will be well.
Will it, sir?
No, it can't fail, Jeeves, because I have an idea. Worcester, the diplomat, that's what they'll be calling me. Open covenants openly arrived at. I'm off now to keep Bingo's date with Miss Latour.
Yes, sir, and if I may say so, sir.
Yes, Jeeves?
I was only going to suggest that as the young lady lives well uptown, you might stop on your way and leave Mrs. Spencer Gregson's Steyr sapphire ring at Tiffany's. That was one of the errands upon which we came to New York.
Aunt Agatha's star sapphire, was it? Oh, yes, of course, the silly prongs. They don't prong or something, isn't it? Will you wrap the bauble up, will you?
I've already done so, sir, and here it is.
Oh, thank you, Jeeves. I'll drop it off on my way up Fifth Avenue. You know, Jeeves, it's a very delicate affair, prying Bingo out of his entanglements. But I shall have no difficulty. Oh, the fighting spirit of the Worcesters. It just beats in the old pulse. Everything is wrapped round with the burlap sacking.
You mean in the bag, sir?
Oh, yes, of course. That's what I do mean. Right, yes.
Yes, sir. Your hat and stick, sir.
Where? Oh, thank you. Thank you, Jeeves. Pip, pip. I freely admit that the Worcester finesse has at times been widely criticized, but in the case of Gloria Latour, I displayed the subtle craftiness of the wolf. Or was it the lynx? Or the zebra? Well, whatever animal I resembled, I was definitely above the Worcester mental average. When I finally led up to the subject of Bingo's flight, Miss Latour became so broken-hearted, she wanted only to slip off on a shopping tour through Saks, grab a light six-course snack at the Ritz Netherlands, and then slink away to front-row seats to musical. It was, I believe, pushing close on to midnight when I finally pushed the blighted female into a taxi cab. As we settled back on the plush, I tried to think of something really significant to say, and at last I hit upon a very crafty... Well, Miss Latour?
Oh, but don't call me Miss Latour, you dear boy. It's Gloria, after the wonderful day we've had together. Oh, driver, go through the park. It's father.
Is it? Oh. Well, the longest way round is the longest way home. No, I haven't got that right, have I? No, that isn't it. Wait, no, I'll get it in a minute.
Does it matter? Look at the light.
Where?
Times Square at night. Oh. The busiest, loneliest, unhappiest place in the world.
Oh, but really, you're not unhappy, are you? Not after I explained about Bingo, his having to rush off like that and sending me in his place and all that?
No, Bertie, you've been so sweet. I'm not unhappy. I'm just numb.
No, you're not. I've never heard that.
I said numb. Frozen,
oh.
Almost.
Oh, but look here. I told you that Bingo really isn't the right sort of person for you at all. He's a prince of a chap, but what a girl like you needs is somebody of a different type entirely. More of a man of the world. Somebody who knows his way around.
My Bertie.
Yes, that's right, you see. Besides, there was something Bingo didn't tell you. I hate to mention it, but...
Go on.
Well, it's not the sort of thing that a fellow likes to tell about a fellow, especially if the fellow is a fellow's boyhood chum and all that.
Whatever in the world are you talking about?
Well, it's like this. Bingo Little doesn't like it known, but...
Well?
He hasn't an earthly... I mean, it's the matter of the ready, the jolly old needful.
You mean money?
Righto.
Oh, I don't believe it. Why, he's always bought me champagne as if it was ginger ale.
Well, that's Bingo. That's Bingo to the tea, the bon vivant, the life of the party, the ready spender while the last pounds, shillings, and pence held out. But now, they've gone.
Really? Mm. Oh, but it doesn't seem...
I know. It's hard to believe, isn't it? Bingo has lived on his borrowings for the past year.
Borrowings?
Yes, from me, mostly. That's how I know. Oh, he makes a bit from playing the horses now and then, and he has a neat turn of the wrist at cards, but all in all, good old Bingo has had a very thin time of it.
Oh.
What are you doing? What's the matter? Oh, my word, you're not going to cry or anything like that, are you?
Of course not. Oh, but to think of him going off by himself, all alone. He may need me.
No, Gloria, no. He does not need you. Bingo is a self-sufficient chap if there ever was one. Lots of other people need you much more. Why, a girl with your hair and your eyes and stuff, why...
Oh, you're just saying that to make me feel better.
No, absolutely not. No, Honor Bright.
Oh, Bertie, will you do something for me?
Anything at all.
Will you let me cry on your shoulder just until we get to my door?
Why, of course. Why, here it is, yes. No, not there. No, it's too rough. There. Now cry away. Never let it be said that a Worcester turned a cold shoulder to the wheel. Or whatever it is. Ah! Oh, Jeeves. Oh, I didn't expect you to wait up for me.
No trouble at all, sir. Could I get you a cup of coffee?
Yes, please, Jeeves. And would you lace it with brandy? On second thoughts, bring me a cup of brandy and lace it with coffee.
I've already prepared it, sir. Here you are, sir.
Thank you. Jeeves, you see before you a ruined man.
Really, sir? I take it then that your plan to free Mr. Little from his involvements with the young lady was unsuccessful.
Oh, it was successful enough. It was too successful. I feel like the man who went hunting doves and met a tiger.
Really, sir?
Jeeves, I'm not sure, but I think I'm engaged to be married. I said I think I'm engaged to be married.
I heard you, sir. The shock was a considerable one. May I offer my congratulations?
You may not. And this is no time to stand there nodding and smiling. Something must be done.
I understand, sir. Is the young lady in question the same young person who was attached to Mr. Little?
Who else? And I was only trying to make her forget Bingo. She started crying, and then she took me upstairs to meet her mother, a gracious little old white-haired lady with a cold and fishy eye. And finally we were left alone again, and one thing led to another, and everything that I said was taken the wrong way.
I think I see the gravity of the situation. Miss Latour mistook your sympathy for a stronger emotion.
Very aptly put, Jeeves.
You caught the young lady on the rebound, so to speak.
Did I? Yeah. Oh, of course. Yes, exactly. On the rebound, yes. Well, now, what's to be done about it?
I fear I have no plan which I could advance with any confidence on the spur of the moment.
Well, strain the brain.
Quite, sir. Of course, there is always the expedient of a lightning departure for parts unknown. I could pack at once.
A flight in the night, you mean?
Exactly, sir.
Oh, magnificent, Jeeves. Oh, no, we can't go.
Why not, sir? This understanding with the young lady, it can't be taken as binding. After all, you have not written her any letters or given her an engagement ring.
Correction, Jeeves.
I beg your pardon.
Oh, my. In the cold gray light of sober second thought, the whole affair seems fairly fantastic to me. But you remember Aunt Agatha's star sapphire ring?
The one that you were taking to Tiffany's, sir?
I was, but I didn't. I had it with me, and after Miss Latour and I got confidential, she asked me what I had in that little package, and some evil genius persuaded me to show it to her. What does she do but slip it on the right finger of her left hand, and...
Well, you explained that it was the property of your aunt, Mrs. Spencer Gregson.
I meant to, Jeeves, I meant to, but things were moving a bit too fast for me at the moment. Miss Latour has very large blue eyes, and when she cries...
Yes, I quite understand, sir. The situation is even more desperate than I thought.
But you will apply the little gray cells, Jeeves? I can trust you to rally round like the stout fellow you are in this my darkest hour of need?
I shall endeavor to do my best, sir. Perhaps an idea will come to me during the night. When do you see Miss Latour next, sir?
Tomorrow. You see, I asked her to bring her mother here for lunch at 1.
Here, sir? At 1 tomorrow?
Yes, well, that gives you plenty of time to think of something. Jeeves, possibly some undetectable poison deftly inserted in the chicken patty?
No.
Oh, dear. The usual blunt instrument?
Inadvisable, sir.
Oh, I was afraid you'd think so. A bit drastic, eh?
Not drastic enough, sir.
Oh. Oh, well. Well, good night, Jeeves.
Good night, sir. And pleasant dreams.
Jeeves, what you just heard is a hollow laugh. The laugh of a lost soul. You know, Jeeves, even if I have nightmares tonight, it'll be a change for the better. As I bunged the fevered brow into the downy pillow, I kept saying to myself, little man, what now? But I soon realized I was talking to the little man who wasn't there. At least the man who wasn't all there. And what of Jeeves? Why had Jeeves no ready plan? Where was the ancient subterfuge, the deft touch? Was the Worcester at last doomed? As I rolled and tossed, I desperately tried to count sheep leaping over the fence. No, but it was no use. I just kept falling asleep. So I surrendered to the Sandman until I was rudely awakened by somebody shouting. It was I calling Jeeves. Jeeves!
Yes, sir?
It's morning, Jeeves.
Hardly, sir. The time is 12:15, Pipema.
And you let me wallow here in the deep and dreamless half the day? Jeeves, you know at times you puzzle me.
Yes, sir. I thought it best not to call you at the regular hour, under the circumstances.
Under what? Oh, Jeeves. Oh, my word. In less than an hour, that damsel and her mother are supposed to come barging in for lunch. Oh, dear. Jeeves, have you any ideas?
Yes, sir. I have made preparations. A nice filly of sole marguerite and pansies for the centerpiece.
Oh, no, I don't care about lunch. And what about me? Are you going to leave me a writhing, shuddering victim on the altar of matrimony? Oh, no matter what slight disagreements you and I may have had in the past over a pair of spats or a necktie, you aren't going to abandon me now, are you? Oh, Jeevesy.
I have been giving some thought to the problem. Burning the midnight oil, sir. As the poet Tennyson so aptly puts it, 'tis better to have loved and to have
lost... Another time, Jeeves.
Yes, sir.
Have you a plan?
Not exactly, sir, but I have taken certain precautions. While you were asleep this morning, I slipped out and made a few purchases. But time will tell.
A ray of hope, then?
Most decidedly, sir. And now, if you'll excuse me, I shall see to your wardrobe for today. Shall I lay out the yellow spats again, sir?
Of course, the yellow spats.
Very well, sir.
On second thought, Jeeves.
No.
No yellow spats today.
Oh, thank you, sir. Your bath is ready.
Once in the steaming tub, I launched into the traditional climb up on my knees, sonny boy. Climb up on my knees. Climb up on my knee. But it was soon evident that Sonny Boy was not up to the old climb. Kept falling back on his quarter notes. Oh, and this was an evil omen. When the pride of the Worcesters rings false on Sonny Boy in the bath, all is not well. And I knew that all definitely was not well when I entered the dining room a few minutes later and detected a certain ominous note in Jeeves' voice as he said,
"Do you approve of the table decoration, sir? I took the liberty of ordering a gardenia corsage for each of the ladies."
Ah, yes. Very thoughtful, Jeeves. Excellent taste, of course. It indicates... Now, listen here, Jeeves. You're not double-crossing me, are you? You're not trying to get me permanently mixed up into this,
I hope to muddle through somehow, sir. At the present moment, my plan of operations is too tenuous to discuss.
Well, that's just it. How can I rally round if I don't know what Machiavellian plot is in your mind?
And perhaps it would be just as well, sir, if the whole thing comes as a surprise to you.
I don't see that at all. I do not... Look, Jeeves, look, is that clock right?
2 1/4 minutes slow, sir.
Don't quibble, so. Don't quibble. It's after 1 now, isn't it? Any minute, they'll be barging in.
Yes, sir. It is the 0 hour.
Jeeves, Oh.
Mr. Worcester's apartment, are you there? Oh, yes. Ask the ladies to come up at once, please.
Jeeves, I can't face them. I simply can't do it. If I could only dive behind that settee.
Perhaps that would be for the best, sir.
You mean it, Jeeves?
Absolutely, sir. For a time at least, I shall endeavor to cope with the situation alone. May I give you a hand, sir?
No, I can move it myself. There we are.
Comfortable, sir?
Moderately, Jeeves. Just moderately, but much safer. You barge ahead, Jeeves, and the blessing of the Worcesters goes with you.
Is this Betty Worcester's apartment? He's expecting us.
Oh, please come in, Mrs. Latour. Miss Latour, may I have your wrap, madam?
No, thank you. I think I'll keep it on.
Very well, madam. Will you sit down? May I offer you a cigarette?
No, no. Where's Mr. Worcester?
Well, Mr. Worcester may be anywhere, miss. He is uncertain in his movements.
Uncertain? Just what do you mean by that?
Just uncertain, madam.
But he was expecting us for luncheon.
Oh, yes, miss. He will be with us shortly. It was his wish that you accept these little bouquets as a symbol of his happiness.
Look, baby, how thoughtful. Gardenia.
I love the smell. Why they smell funny. Like cloves.
Oh, yes, miss. Mr. Worcester always has oil of cloves sprinkled on flowers. To counteract the usual scent.
Yes, but oil of cloves.
Why does he do that?
Oh, these eccentric millionaires, baby.
Quite, madam. Sometimes Mr. Worcester's motives are hard to follow. Shall I serve luncheon now?
No, wait. Can't you find Mr. Worcester? Haven't you any idea where he might be?
Well, now, let me see, miss. He sometimes hides in the broom closet.
He does? Why?
I have no idea, madam. And then, of course, there is always the space back of the settee. A favorite lair of his, I believe.
Say, is this a gag? Why should he want to go there?
It is one of Mr. Worcester's chief peculiarities, miss. Excuse me while I take a look. Mr. Worcester, come out wherever you are. Luncheon is served.
Mr. Worcester.
Bertie. Oh, hello, everybody.
What in the world are you doing back there? Mercy, you're all cobwebby.
Do I? I mean, am I?
How do you do, Mr. Worcester?
Yes, ma'am, yes. And again, no, well, the old reunion, what? Yes. Jeeves, how about a spot of lunch or something?
Luncheon is being served, sir.
Is it? Where? Oh, of course. Oh, look, right here, yes. Do sit down. You sit down there, Mr. Latour, Mrs. Latour. Just sit down, yes.
I still don't see why you had to go playing practical jokes.
Baby never liked practical jokes on wise guys. And I find them quite silly.
Really? Well, you see, it wasn't exactly a practical joke. I simply felt like taking a bit of a nap behind the settee. I like hiding behind the settee.
Oh, but why in the world would you...
Excuse me, madam, but Mr. Worcester was frightened by an infuriated chicken at the age of 3. And as a result, he is addicted to somewhat unusual habits. Fish, madam.
What? Oh, thank you.
Oh, Bertie, darling.
Yes, yes?
The ring you gave me, my lovely star sapphire. It has a loose prong.
Huh? Oh, has it?
So I'm going to have to drop it off at Tiffany's on my way home and have it tightened.
Oh, splendid idea.
Well,
splendid.
Excuse me, sir, but is it really necessary? Would it not be simpler for the young lady to take another ring from among these?
Good heavens, look at the rings.
Oh, I didn't know there were that many star sapphires in the world, Mr. Worcester. Bertie, you must have a sapphire mine.
Yes, there's just hundreds, at least a dozen. By the way, Jeeves, where do we get our sapphires?
At the 5 and 10, sir. By the gross.
Oh, do we? Oh, yes, of course, that's right. Yes, at the 5 and 10.
Perfect imitation, aren't they, madam?
Yes, quite perfect.
But Bertie... I don't understand. I thought...
Yes, I imagine you did. I mean... Jeeves?
Yes, sir?
Mrs. Latour would like some more of the fish, Jeeves.
Coming, sir.
No, thank you. I don't care for fish. I don't even care for the smell of fish.
Mother.
Quiet, baby. Mr. Worcester, this don't look good to me. I want you to strictly understand that if you think...
Mother, look!
What? Oh, what did that man bringing in?
again. I didn't notice anybody's birthday.
A wedding cake, madam, in preview form.
Oh, Jeeves.
In honor of the glad news, and may I be among the first to congratulate the happy couple?
Oh, Jeeves. Oh,
well, thank you, Mr. Jeeves, but
would you care to cut the cake, miss?
Oh, Jeeves.
What pretty icing.
Thank you, miss. It will make Mr. Worcester's family very happy to have someone else take over the job of caring for him.
Caring for him?
Yes, madam.
But aren't you? I mean, what?
Well, as Mr. Worcester's companion, I might almost say his keeper, miss. I must say that I look forward to laying aside the burden.
Now listen, Jeeves, this is a bit... I mean to say, you can't go about saying...
There's been plenty said already.
Well, if you'll excuse me, there's another matter. Miss Latour, when the plans for the honeymoon cottage are drawn, it is advisable that one room be set aside for Mr. Worcester's personal use.
For his personal use?
Yes, miss, and the walls must be heavily padded.
What?
Padded, miss. We always spell out words of that nature to save Mr. Worcester's feelings. I would suggest covering the wall with a nice red morocco.
Mother, did you hear that? A pad itself!
Jeeves, are you going
to... Yes, sir. I was just about to tell the young lady there's nothing to worry about except at the full of the moon. At all other times, he is very amiable and easily controlled, aren't you, sir?
Oh, thank you, Jeeves. What?
Quite so, sir. And now, if you'll excuse me, I think I hear someone at the back door. I fancy it's the tailor's man.
What tailor's man?
With your new straitjacket, sir. For a fitting. I'll bring it in.
Oh, no, you don't. You're not going to leave baby and me here alone with this lunatic.
Mother, hadn't we better...
Yes, you bet your life we'd better. Come on, baby, let's get out of here alive. That's all I ask.
All right, I'm coming. Here, Mr. Worcester, you can take your old ring back to the 5 and 10. And maybe they'll exchange it for a toy flute or something. Goodbye.
Well, Jeeves.
Well, sir?
What a time, eh? If you know what I mean. I mean, what a time.
Exactly, sir. It would appear that the engagement is broken, sir.
And one of your best efforts, Jeeves. For a moment or two, you had me worried. I thought you were trying to further the nuptials.
Oh, just a smokescreen, sir. Certain people are constituted that they are suspicious of anything that you urge upon them.
Spoken like the philosopher you are, Jeeves. By the way... That knock that you thought you heard at the back door, that wasn't really...
Sir. There was, of course, no question of a real straitjacket.
Oh, glad to hear it.
Will that be all, sir? I thought I might take Mrs. Gregson's ring up to Tiffany's for the necessary repair work to make sure that no further misadventure occurs.
I would appreciate it. And, Jeeves,
what is it, sir?
You may take those yellow spats of mine and drop them into an ash can on your way up the street.
Oh, thank you, sir. You make me very happy.
But the longing of Bertie for such sartorial iniquities as yellow spats and his capacity for getting the terrible scrapes is, as millions of you well know, without limit. This program was merely a sample of what Leave It to Jeeves would be like as a series. Eventually, we hope these Wodehouse characters will reach the air as a regular weekly presentation. To appear in tonight's sample broadcast, and because of his enthusiasm for the Wodehouse characterization for radio, Edward Everett Horton flew to Hollywood several days ago from Brighton Beach, New York, where he's starring in the stage play Springtime for Henry. Performance tomorrow evening as usual. And our thanks to him for his 7,000-mile flight in the cause of good radio entertainment. Our cast sheet for tonight read as follows. Edward Everett Horton as Bertie Worcester, Alan Mowbray as Jeeves, Helen Wood as Gloria Latour, Myra March as Mrs. Latour, and Donald Morrison as Bingo. Your musical conductor was Wilbur Hatch, your adapter of script Stuart Palmer, your director of production Kenneth Niles. Next week at this hour, Forecast presents from New York a show entitled Back Where I Come From with Clifton Fadiman presiding over a meeting devoted to musical, vocal, and conversational Americana. From Hollywood and New York, Charles Laughton and Elsa Lanchester, Edna Best, Richard Whorf, and Roy Atwell in double feature. Listen to Forecast next Monday. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.